GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
You're very welcome back to Tuesday Night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening on News Talk. You can text us using the text number 53106 or tweet us at Off the Ball. And plenty more reaction coming on the idea of Jose Mourinho's successor at Manchester United. Pretty much every name that's available and unavailable in football has been suggested at this point. Cahill says, if United have a long-term vision, look no further than Chris Hughton, a class act, and will put the right structure in place. Tony, Manchester United fan, says, lads, I shuddered when Danny Mills suggested today that Southgate's got to be considered. And he wasn't even joking. And then
Siobhan, Danny Mills never jokes.
He never jokes. Siobhan and Claire says, hey guys, I think Rafa Benitez would be a good move for United. He would take control of the squad without all the off-the-pitch nonsense that Jose brought with him. Any of those names float your boat, Richie McCormack?
Not particularly. I think I'm all right. The funniest one from Andy earlier on was Pep Guardiola, just as a means of annoying Manchester City, which would be a good crack. Speaking of City, they currently lead Leicester by a goal to nil. It was Kevin De Bruyne with that goal inside 14 minutes at the King Power. A shot from outside of the box, outwitting Danny Ward, beating the former Liverpool goalkeeper at his right hand upright. And the holders are a goal to the good with 19 minutes played. City, we should note, giving a start to 17-year-old Eric Garcia. He's been deployed at the heart of defence alongside Nicolas Otamendi, which means John Stones is playing in midfield.
All right, and how's he doing?
He's doing okay. He hasn't had much to do, to be fair to him. But City looking fairly in control at the moment with a partially second-string side this evening. Meanwhile, at the Riverside, the other quarter-final involving Middlesbrough and Burton Albion, that remains goalless. We have a second-round replay as well in the FA Cup second round. That is, Arnaud Grenadier has given Blackpool a 1-0 lead at home to Tim Flair's National League side, Solihull Moors. This is significant for Arsenal fans because Arsenal will be away to whoever comes through tonight's game at Bloomfield Road. There's one game in the Scottish Premiership as well, that seeing Aberdeen leading Dundee by a goal to nil. That goal coming inside 16 minutes for Sam Cosgrove. And something of a surprise as well in the FIFA Club World Cup in the Middle East. We have seen a shock semi-final win for Al Ain, who beat River Plate, the Copa Libertadores winners, 5-4 on penalties after it finished 2-2. Kashima Antlers and Real Madrid play the second semi-final to decide who'll play Al Ain in the final. It seems as if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is poised to become the new caretaker manager of Manchester United. United on the lookout for someone to steer the ship following this morning's sacking of Jose Mourinho. Mike Phelan, who worked as a coach under Alex Ferguson, is poised to work alongside Solskjaer while in Tom Daly in rugby, has joined Connacht on loan until the end of the season. The Leinster centre has joined the Western Province amid a mini injury crisis at the sports ground. He could feature against his former province now, or at least his home province, this Saturday in the Pro 14. And one final line as well, that surrounding cash, because I know it was a bone of contention on last night's show on Monday Night Rugby. Two cash players cited today following Saturday's contentious Heineken Cup Champions Cup meeting with Munster. Both scrum half Rory Cockott and hooker Marc-Antoine Rallier will appear in front of a Paris disciplinary hearing tomorrow.
Richie McCormack, thank you very much. We are turning our attention to Gaelic games at the moment because you might have heard there are a couple of stories that have been doing the rounds over the past week or so, and they're of the financial sort. So to discuss all this, really, Mick Foley of the Sunday Times joins us on the line this evening. Mick, good evening to you. How are things?
Not too bad, Owen. How are you?
Not too bad at all. So we've got Páirc Uí, we've got the situation about how much this project actually overran by. We've got Galway GAA and the Treasurer saying that the situation is rotten to the core when it comes to finance in Galway GAA. And then a third story we're going to talk about is one of, I guess, a lighter variety. Wexford recording a huge surplus in their 2018 accounts. We're going to start with Páirc Uí. It kind of emerged last Friday morning in the Irish Examiner, an interview with Peter McKenna, I should say, saying that the entire project for Páirc Uí now costs €110 million. The project began with an estimate of around €80 million, and we were told that it ran so far over that Croke Park had to take over the running of the stadium. How did this happen, Mick, for anybody who's just getting to the story now?
Sure. Well, you can drop the €80 million back down by 10. It was €70 million is where they started. And it was going to be a project with no bank debt. It was going to come from, you know, Cork's own funds and whatever grants and so on and so forth. It was going to be no debt involved in this at all. So we obviously ended up with a situation. It was kind of the end of last year. It became clear that it was going to be going over €80 million. And then we get to the situation, as you say, last week where Peter McKenna does an interview with the Irish Examiner where he says €110 million. which in of itself was quite extraordinary. And I suppose I don't think anybody was actually surprised that there was an overrun. I don't think, you know, that they overspent. I don't think that was a surprise. But the scale of the overspend would take your breath away a little bit. You move it on then to Saturday night. It was the Cork GAA County Convention, effectively their AGM. And it was the last, it was Frank Murphy's last night as County Secretary after 46 years and so on and so forth. But you also had the situation where Tracy Kennedy, the Cork chairperson, before the meeting properly got going, read out a prepared statement where they rejected the €110 million bill that was suggested by McKenna and stuck by their €86.5 million bill, which is the figure that's in their audited accounts. So that obviously created a bit of confusion in terms of, well, how the hell much did this cost? Because either way, it's not good. But the very fact that you had Croke Park making an intervention, Croke Park becoming part of the Croke or the Páirc Uí Chaoimh Stadium Committee. So effectively, Croke Park will have a huge say in running the stadium and is taking over the commercial operation for what Cork County Board said, 3 years. But I mean, McKenna himself and others would say it's going to be at least a 10-year operation. There was a lot of confusion around all of this. It was brought up by one delegate at the county convention, asked, well, what exactly is the figure? Is another delegate asked, well, isn't Peter McKenna just telling lies in the paper? To which Tracy Kennedy replied that she wasn't contradicting anybody, but that there will be a meeting of the board of directors, which is called Stad Cush Lee, last night, and hopefully that there'll be clarification after that. So we waited all day for a statement today just to see exactly did they come up with a final figure in the end. And lo and behold, they haven't come up with a final figure. They've said that they'll be examining the figures. So, look, we're kind of stuck in a limbo in terms of the final cost. I personally think that they're dancing on the head of a pin a small little bit with the terminology and the figures. I think it's pretty safe to say it's going to be over €100 million when they do finally settle on a figure. And it does, it raises major questions, not even alone about how the Cork project was carried on, but how capital projects in the GAA in general need to be carried on in future, and how the GAA need to start looking at their finances and the culture of running their finances.
Yeah, like that's what I was about to ask, the culture of running finances. In your view, in terms of what you've seen in terms of capital projects that have existed in the GAA and under other sporting bodies, how unusual is this? So you look at the magnitude of the overrun. If we take Peter McKenna at his word with €110 million as a spend, that gigantic overrun, it's not just kind of a flaw, it's not just a little bit of a slip up, it is a huge blunder.
Well, it's not unusual, to be honest. I mean, the scale of it, I mean, 70 million to go to 110 is kind of phenomenal, all right. But I mean, if you think back in the 70s when Cork built Páirc Uí Chaoimh in the first place, Frank Murphy was the secretary that time as well. And Frank actually made the point a few years ago in an interview that this was one thing he really wanted, was that Páirc Uí Chaoimh, the current Páirc Uí Chaoimh, wouldn't have a stadium debt because of the pain and suffering they experienced building the first one. The first one was to be built for just under £1 million, but it ran over to £1.7 million. So that's not too far off percentage-wise what they've done this time. Mm. But they also had interest repayments that topped nearly £1 million in the end. And as Frank said himself, it nearly left the board insolvent. So Cork have had that experience before, Cork just by themselves. But I mean, you'd look around at other issues. I mean, the Galway issue is there's a couple of, I suppose, different strands to that, but one thing that stuck out to me in the context, again, of the Páirc Uí Chaoimh debt, which is a capital debt, I suppose you could call it, in terms of infrastructure. Like Galway County Board bought a parcel of land out near Athenry back around 2008. They paid €3.1 million for it. It was to be for a centre of excellence, but it never came to pass, and they ended up selling it for €750,000 last year. And I mean, that is, you know, that is just a crippling debt that they've had to deal with. And then obviously we've had the revelations in the last while, and you know, it's been a slow drip on. I mean, it's not been something that's really been in the news that much.
No.
But if you've kind of been, I mean, I kind of kept a bit of an eye on it, wrote a little bit about it on Sunday, kind of in the context of Cork just pointing to Galway, you know, the financial mismanagement, I suppose you could call it, that was going on up there, that was kind of eating away at them from the inside. If, you know, as you say, if people haven't clocked it yet, like you're talking about, there was over €400,000 worth of All-Ireland final ticket revenue that had yet to be paid to Croke Park. It's been paid off since. you had 45,000 euros in personal expenses claimed by board officials, which was far in excess of what you'd normally expect. Various deficiencies in terms of even taking money at the gates and different grounds around the country, again, or in the county. Again, that's something that they've addressed. But the county treasurer stood up last night and went through all these issues. And, you know, in fairness, he called a spade, and he didn't hold back in terms of saying, you know, that, you know, how would you put it? I suppose impediments were put in his way in terms of investigating these things fully. And that they have a hell of a lot of work to do to get their financial house in order.
Yeah,
but
it does seem that an investigation is imminent or perhaps undergoing at the moment with Galway. But when it comes to the Páirc Uí situation, as you say, we expected the statement this afternoon to include some definite figures as to who's actually right here, what the actual overrun of figures are. We don't know what that is just yet, but is there an investigation that's going to happen? If you just stick with Cork just for the moment, is there something underway? Is there an audit taking place to so that the public can actually find out just how much is going to happen, or are we even aware of that?
No, this is the issue, I think, and this has been an ongoing issue. We have to be careful how we word this kind of stuff, but I'm not saying that things weren't carried out in a transparent manner, but there certainly, all the way through, there was a sense of a lack of transparency. And again, this issue was brought up by one of the delegates at the county convention on Saturday night. This guy said, you know, delegates out in the street are being asked questions about this issue, and we're being made look like fools because we know nothing.
Right.
They didn't, and that's what I come back to that point again. No one was surprised that there was an overspend, but nobody could really tell you in the run-up how much the overspend was going to be. No one can tell you where the money has gone. Why was there an overspend? What caused the overspend? So we're not suggesting for a second that the money was inappropriately spent or anything happened, but there is absolutely a lack of knowledge in terms of the I suppose the train of events, the line of events, and so on. So what we're looking at the moment, I think Cork, you know, reading between the lines and speaking to people and so on and so forth, I get the sense that number one, they're very pleased that Croke Park are involved. They're very, very pleased that Croke Park will come on board and taking this off their desk. For one thing, it means that, as I say, Frank Murphy is gone, so you've got a new county secretary in there, Kevin O'Donovan, who's in his first year. So for him, I mean, it's a massive thing taken off the desk, because you know, he doesn't have to necessarily worry about the ins and outs of the Páirc Uí Cuíomh debt. Now he can just concentrate on the day-to-day running of Cork County Board and Cork GA. So you have that aspect to it. I would imagine that at the moment they're just relieved to have saved themselves from insolvency. They have a 23 million euro, nearly 24 million euro bank debt to service, and that's a huge problem for them. That's a large reason why Croke Park have come in. So, and I mean, you know, it's similar, I suppose, to a lot of people, unfortunately, who would have got into difficulty with houses and so on and so forth, and they get in difficulty with their mortgage. Croke Park will do now for Cork probably what they've done for other clubs and counties in the last 10 years. They'll go to the bank and talk about getting a better set of circumstances, restructured a loan, whatever the case may be. But I would say that it's down the track on you're looking. And the other issue that I brought up on Sunday, it's been brought up once or twice before as well. There's 30 million euros of public money involved in this. The overspend,
but that 30 million is very definite, Mick, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's 30 million euro public money put in. So, and we're talking about a debt in the region of anywhere between, we say, the overspend from 86 to 110 million. So it's a lot of money. So if I was looking at this from the outside, and I am looking at this from the outside in, I would be saying the Public Accounts Committee might be brought into this.
Right.
There may be a day up in Leinster House of these boys to explain what exactly happened. If a government took that view, or if a committee took that view. But, you know, going back to your original point there about the culture, I think it's an important thing. In terms of the Galway one, just to jump back to that for a second, because it does relate back to Cork to a degree. Galway Mazars did an independent audit for Galway last year, and one of the recommendations they had was that Galway should appoint a full-time operations manager who would have a very strong background in finance, so they could cover it that way. Now, Galway had a full-time county secretary up to last year. That position has been removed now, so I would expect that they will follow that advice. But that advice is echoing something that was written in a paper called Towards 2034, which was put together by the GAA early this year. It hasn't been released, but it's basically looking at issues that might come up coming towards the 150th anniversary of the GAA, which is 2034. And one of the things they suggest is that the amount of money now that's involved in keeping county boards going and so on and so forth, it's just not sustainable for volunteer officers to stay across all this stuff. So they will be recommending, I suppose, in between the lines, they're recommending something similar to what Galway are going to go down. But, it, you know, it's a multifaceted thing, I think, as well. You know, I mean, it's not so much... Treasurers every year go on about expenditure and keeping expenses down. I think there's a huge issue as well for the GAA in terms of the amount of revenue, potential revenue they can create now. Yeah, it's unprecedented.
It's gigantic. Like we can look at the 481,000 euro surplus in the Wexford accounts for 2018, which is obviously a huge figure. It shows the power of fundraising at this point. Like on that towards 2034 report you mentioned, and the idea of full-time financial officers in each county, how commonplace is that? How many counties do have professionals looking after their accounts at the moment, and that is their sole job?
I couldn't absolutely say for sure, Owen, but I would say it's quite low. Mm. I mean, you have full-time county secretaries in an awful lot of places, but that's a different thing, you know. A full-time operations manager would have a slightly different brief in that regard, you know. Yeah. Like he wouldn't be involved. I wouldn't imagine he'd be involved in fixtures and stuff like county secretaries would be, but it would be more kind of looking at the financial side of things. But you know, sometimes you have to make a distinction as well. I mean, for example, Cork recorded a surplus this year as well, and so did Galway. But it's the capital aspect, and it's when county boards and county officials start to think like they're property developers or something, you know, that's where people have to pull the horns in a little bit and be extremely prudent. And again, I'm not suggesting that, I mean, look at Páirc Uí Chaoimh was redeveloped with the best of intentions, no doubt about it.
Sure.
But it obviously got out of hand somewhere along the way. So with that in mind, like, you know, you it's that capital aspect that needs to be controlled and being very careful about. I think county boards, you know, have a reasonable handle. Most of them have a reasonable handle on the day-to-day stuff. I mean, you look around, there's a fair few surpluses recorded. But again, I go back to that thing of the amount of potential revenue that's there now, whether it's from selling parcels of land that they want to redevelop somewhere else, or, you know, just the amount of the commercial opportunities that are out there. It's never been this big. And personally speaking, I don't like the idea of professionalizing too many voluntary roles. But you can't turn the clock back either, particularly when it comes to finances and money. When once money gets into something, it's very, very hard to reverse and say, oh, stop, we're going to stop taking that money, we're going to put a cap on the amount we want to earn. So when we start going down this road, you have to be realistic and go, okay, county boards, because you don't want Croke Park micromanaging all these situations either. You want county boards, that's what they're there for, to look after their own business.
Is that better than the alternative, though, Mick? The micromanaging of situations and not allowing situations like this to run into debt or overrun? One of the things that just strikes me, and I'm not sure if many people asked it, I'm not sure did it come up at the Cork Convention at the weekend, but is anybody asking if it was really the correct idea to redevelop Páirc Uí Chaoimh? Like, would it not have been potentially a better move for a municipal stadium or something like that in a better location in Cork? You could have a shared load, you could have shared resources, different governmental bodies chipping in, less debt. It just seems to me, granted, I'm using hindsight to my benefit here hugely, but surely that question is being asked at the moment. Was this the right thing to do?
They've been asking since the wrecking ball went into it. Was it the right thing to do in terms of not so much replacing, not so much rebuilding Páirc Uí Chaoimh, because it was a bit of a ruin, really, you know. I mean, I personally never liked the stadium in any way, shape or form. Didn't like the pitch, didn't like the wind to it, don't like the traffic coming in and out of it. The best thing about it was the press box. The press box was one of the best in the country. But, I mean, you know, that's not of much interest to anybody else apart from me. But, like, I don't think there was any argument about rebuilding Páirc Uí Chaoimh. But in terms of how... how to distribute the funds, what to spend on. I mean, there was talk, obviously, you know, about centres of excellence and so on. I mean, let's say it's in the region of 100 million quid was the bill. You got a fabulous stadium and one 4G pitch and a gym, you know? I mean, that's what you got effectively. Now, there will be, again, it's a kind of a local discussion that Cork is so big, what's the point in building a centre of excellence in one place? Would you not be better off having a few around the place? There will be questions as to why haven't Cork partnered up with CIT or UCC in a very formal way to develop a centre of excellence, if they want to go down the route of kind of having a big GAA stadium in the city. Like, I mean, I can understand on one level the idea of Cork, you know, the biggest GAA county in the country, having a standalone, self-owned, in inverted commas, independent stadium. I get the thinking behind that, as opposed to a municipal stadium. I mean, I remember hearing 10 or 15 years ago now, going back, that in the long term, like when I'm drawing the pension and you're heading that way on, like that it will be municipal stadiums, you know, that it will be municipal stadia, that is the long-term future for the entire country. But I don't think we're at that point. Certainly when you look around at the amount of building that's still going on in terms of the GA, I see Louth actually, I think, have got the green light to build a new stadium as well. So I mean, it's still a thing, I think, in GAA culture again, to have your own place, you know. So yeah. I think we're a bit away from municipal, but certainly there's been questions all the way along the process in terms of, well, what the hell are they doing just building this big massive shell stadium? How often is it going to be full? We've got one 4G pitch. Look at the state of the county teams not winning anything at senior level at the minute, and we don't even have a centre of excellence. I mean, they compare it to what Kerry did below in Curran's, but I would argue that Kerry did that below in Curran's with the benefit of having Killarney and Tralee as two, you know, reasonably functioning venues for what they needed, whereas Cork would be seen as, you know, they would need it for more games, to be honest, and more big games than Killarney would.
Yeah. Like, so all in all, I'm looking at this and I'm looking at the Cork situation. We still don't know for sure how much it's overrun by. What we do know is that they've now struck up a relationship with Croke Park. Tracy Kennedy, the Cork GAA chairperson, says she's very happy with this. Basically, this is going to manifest itself in a lot of gigs in Croke Park, like the Gareth Brooks thing could have happened in Croke Park or in Parky Cueve instead of Croke Park for a full 5 nights, and the GAA would have got rid of that problem and Cork would have made a bit of money. Is that how this is going to happen? Basically, Croke Park are going to offload a lot of events on Parky Cueve, and over these next 10, 15 years, if we're to believe certain people, that money will start ratcheting up and they'll finally be able to pay this thing off?
Yeah, well, let's be thankful for small mercies that this situation was in existence when we were trying to find another home for Gareth Brooks. But what you call it, yeah, I mean, that's basically what they were saying the other night. Actually, was, you know, you could have had three gigs in Croke Park and two in Parky Cueve that time, you know. So that's, yeah, that's kind of what you're looking at. They don't see themselves as being in competition. And it was one of those moments, again, in the statement from Tracy Kennedy the other night where she kind of made the point that, you know, this was a good thing for Cork. You know, that having this expertise from Parky Cueve, or from Croke Park, I should say, coming on board was a fantastic thing for Cork. And why wouldn't we avail of this? She was very, very strong on the notion that this was not a takeover, that this was something that the Cork County Board and the Cork GAA family had decided to do, was to bring these people in. Now, I'm not so sure about that. I think, again, we're playing with semantics and we're playing with language. I don't think this is something that anybody would like to have, is somebody coming in to oversee your business or get, you know, land people into your committee, even though you still have prior approval and all the members of the board of directors. But this is not something that Cork GAA want to have happening, but it's something that's being imposed on them because of this wild overrun. What you're looking at now is exactly what you described. I'd say lots of gigs, lots of corporate events. Peter McKenna made the point, and I think it's a very well-made point, that Cork down the years have really not exploited their commercial potential, again, as the biggest GAA county in the country, with a host of multinationals on their doorstep and all sorts of possibilities. He even kind of made reference to the small things like the colour scheme in Parky Cueve. They want to get more red in there. They want more pictures of the legends, you know. Yeah. Stuff to make Cork feel like a home for Cork and to kind of increase that kind of brand, I guess, if you want to put it that way. One thing that you did say, and it's a big point of contention as well, and people would still be doubtful, again, it comes and doubtful because, again, of that sense of a lack of transparency. They've insisted all the way along that there will be no levies on the clubs, that this is not going to impact the day-to-day running of the clubs and of the board and of all the rest of it. But I think that they're going to have to do a fair bit more legwork to make the clubs believe that.
Yeah, for sure. You've mentioned a lot there, because there is a lot of commonality there between the Parky Cueve situation and the Galway situation when it comes to what perhaps Croke Park can do, what Central Council can do, and perhaps full-time financial managers. But just one specific thing on the Galway situation. You mentioned Michael Burke, the Galway GAA treasurer, who called Galway GAA rotten to the core after, I guess, unauthorised use of the Galway GAA credit card for personal use, the payment of bonuses and expenses without proper authorisation, and the lack of control and transparency and payments for tickets drawn down from Croke Park. Again, I guess the situation is, you wouldn't be that surprised by this, but you're also surprised by the idea. You are surprised, I should say, by the idea that this is happening at such a high scale. You'd think at an actual county board level and at such a big scale. Like you mentioned, accounts of expenses of officers reaching 45 grand in the year 2016.
Mm-hmm. And when he would have said, you know, they'll be under 10 grand this year, which is kind of more where you'd like to peg him. Yeah, and I think the fact as well, I mean, Cork and Galway, you know, they're two old money counties, if you pardon the expression. You know, you kind of think, well, they should have their houses in order, you know. I mean, you can understand maybe some smaller counties kind of getting into hock or into difficulty. But when you see it happening in these bigger counties, you do get concerned. But yeah, I mean, going back to the overall point about the Galway stuff, you would see this kind of mismanagement occurring in counties down the years, you know, and Croke Park having to step in and make alterations, or the county themselves. I think what struck me anyway about it was how straight out, honest to God, the treasurer was about it last night. You know, he did not mince his words. And I mean, if you think about it, if you think about it, like, this is something he would have thought about. I mean, he had to write a report about this. So he had the opportunity all the way along, you know, a considered opportunity. Am I going to drop the blade or not? And he still decided that this situation was so chronic that he was going to call it out for what it was. And in return then, from what I could just, and I mean, I wasn't at the meeting last night, but there was some great reporting in the Irish Examiner on it today.
Yeah.
The delegates took up the baton, as it were, and made the point that, you know, we need to be more transparent. I mean, I saw there was a quote in the Connacht Tribune last week, that Mazars audit that I mentioned was shown to the delegates last week, and one delegate just said it was embarrassing. Really embarrassing. And I'm sure that's, and again, it comes back to my point about the club delegates down around here kind of wandering around with no answers for people, you know. It makes even your own board feel disenfranchised when this kind of stuff is going on and you don't know what's going on and you're part of the board. And that's a challenge as well. It shouldn't be a challenge, but it is a challenge for county boards to engage with their with their members and keep people abreast of what's going on. And just basically, you know what, it's ridiculous. It's just basic good practice, you know, and try not to make the whole thing feel like such a closed shop, which is the sense I certainly got again at the Cork County Convention. And I get the sense from the Galway stories of people going, we didn't even know this was going on. That sense of a closed shop is an issue for counties as well.
Yeah, it certainly is. Mick Foley of the Sunday Times, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks a million for joining us this evening.
No problem, man.
Appreciate it. Mick Foley there of the Sunday Times, as I say. Gavin Riley has been in touch on Twitter to say, enjoying the chat and a worthy subject, but when the SED itself has now gone three times its own budget, that's €484 million to €1.4 billion for a major capital project, is it really also scandalous for an organisation chiefly run by amateurs to go 25 to 30% over budget on theirs? And I guess the honest answer to that hypothetical question is no. And perhaps we should look into the idea of professional advice, at the very least, if not actual professionals being implemented in a lot of the county boards around the country. We are going to chat football in the football show after 9 o'clock. We've got more good stuff coming your way very shortly as well. Trisha Heberle, she's Team Ireland's new chef de mission for the Olympics. She'll be joining us right after these.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.